I really don't feel like looking for anything else. So, like, this is the movie I'm on now. It has a tagline. That's what we're going to use. That's the high standard that I hold things to on this show.
I usually look up two or three movies, and then it's just whatever I land on.
If you haven't found
if
one within
two or three ideas don't work, then just whatever.
Then you're already on your fourth one anyway.
Like Undercover Brother or something.
Do Ghost Dad. What's up? This is Movies on Up. Embrace your inner anti-hero. My outer hero is seated right across from me, rolling his eyes. That's Mr. Dave.
I was
going
to look it up to see it. I don't even have to.
Not necessary. That's Dave. I am Ryan.
That's poisonous.
We are Movies on Up. Embrace your inner anti-hero is our venomous tagline for this week. If you think you know what movie that comes from,
it's on par with what I would expect.
Yeah. Send your guests to us in one of the following ways. You can email us, moviesonup@gmail.com. You can leave your guests on our Facebook page, facebook.com/moviesonup, or tweet your guests to us @moviesonup on the Twitter. If you are correct and if we choose you, you will get a package full of all sorts of black goo from us. Let's just get that out of the way because that whole part sucks. But
it's coming up.
We'll come back to it. But this episode is our fall preview for 2018. It's one of our favorite episodes to do every year. We started this podcast to talk about movies, and this is one of the episodes of the year where we talk about a shit ton of movies. This one in the summer preview really gives us a chance to hit a bunch of stuff chronologically, stuff we may see, stuff we may be excited for, stuff we may never see and never
talk
about again.
How excited we are, and then we forget about it, and then we don't see it until like a year or two.
See it 3 years later, like, oh man, I remember I was so excited, and then I got distracted by Venom. So we're going to start with October 5th. That is, I believe, this week.
Next week, this week, whatever.
I don't know. It's a
time
week.
Time is relative.
The week of October 5th. Where Bradley Cooper brings A Star Is Born, and that star this time is Lady Gaga. She also stars with Sam Elliott, Dave Chappelle, and Matt Parkman. Greg Grunberg. This is the remake of the remake
of the remake
of the remake with all new music as Lady Gaga takes a crack at the role made famous by Janet Gaynor and then made more famous by Judy Garland, made even more famous by Barbara Streisand. This is, in case that got lost, the directorial debut of Bradley Cooper.
I'm going to say it now. Oscar nominee Lady Gaga.
Yeah, I think so.
Without a doubt.
From everything that's come out of TIFF and everybody that's seen this movie.
She's getting rave reviews.
Yeah.
She's only had like one leading TV series role where she won an Emmy for it because she was actually really, really good despite the show being terrible. It's big shoes to fill.
Certainly.
And Bradley Cooper is the kind of dude that has clout. He could pretty much get any actress he wanted for this, and he went with her. You know, like Anne Hathaway can sing. So many of your actresses can sing. Any of them would sign up to be in Bradley Cooper's directorial debut to follow in Judy Garland, Barbara Streisand. So he could have had a pick of actresses. And I trust B. Coops to make the right choice. And I feel like it's going to be Oscar nominee. I'm talking actress.
Right.
It's going to get a song
for sure.
or two nom
for sure.
as well. So, I mean, she could get a couple Oscars, probably one for song. And then I don't think she'll win for actress, but I think she's nominated.
I do believe you're right. She's going to be nominated. She may not win, but what she is going to win is I do think people are going to take her seriously as an actress now. Maybe American
She'll
Horror Story is
Globe.
Not your jam. Oh, yeah, because they have
the
musical category.
Or comedy, and they want her to perform there. They want her to be there. So that's how the Golden Globes work. She will win the Golden Globe.
It's not like she's going to win it and not be deserving. All things considered,
I'm not a Lady Gaga hater. I'm not cynical at all. I think she'll be a nom, and I think she'll earn it.
And this will be a good movie.
I think it'll be decent, yeah.
Which
it'll
is probably more
than Country Strong.
Yeah. Which is probably more than we can say for Ruben Fleischer's Venom, starring Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Jenny Slate, who apparently does not speak English in this movie, Riz Ahmed, and Woody Harrelson. It is a movie about a Spider-Man villain whose entire existence is based off Spider-Man, but without Spider-Man. And somehow I feel like all of these actors were tricked into being in this movie. I think it's going to be bad, but I can't understand how a movie with Tom Hardy, Michelle Williams, Riz Ahmed, and Woody Harrelson is bad. how that's going to happen,
Tom
but it's
Hardy
going
to. I get Tom
Hardy
being in it because, like, okay, it's a big-time franchise. Tom Hardy's name above it. He doesn't do a lot of that stuff.
But he could do anyone he wants.
He could do anything he wants. A little-known secret on this show, I love Tom Hardy. He looks awful in this. I don't know which voice is worse, his Venom or his Eddie Brock. They both sound terrible. He looks like a little lost puppy dog as Eddie Brock. And let's not forget, Ruben Fleischer is terrible. Ruben Fleischer is awful. What was that movie, Gangster Squad? You had this amazing cast.
Yeah, that's how it could be that bad.
And it was awful. It was awful. He is a terrible, terrible director. This is a terrible, terrible idea. It's going to make a ton of money. That's the sad thing. This movie, it's going to break October records. It's going to make a lot of money and make Sony look like, hey, this was a good idea. But it's a terrible idea.
If I have to pay money to see Venom in a theater so that Sony would come up off Spider-Man and let Marvel bring him into the MCU, I think it's worth it. If it means I get to have 3 Tom Holland Spider-Man movies and I have to watch 1 Venom movie, I'll do it. I'm not going to do it happily, but I'll do it. Gave a lot of hate to Venom, probably worth it. But you can also see The Hate U Give this week, directed by George Tillman Jr., starring Amanda Steenberg, Regina Hall, Russell Hornsby, Anthony Mackie, Issa Rae, and Common. Another movie about witnessing a police shooting, this time not written by anyone from Hamilton, based off a book by Angie Thomas that you soon won't have to read.
Blindsiding, whatever the Lafayette movie, the V. Diggs movie from earlier this year was. It's sad that we're in a time where we have 2 movies in a few months span where it's relevant.
Yeah.
It's Stenberg witnesses her friend get shot by police, and it's her trying to keep things together. And it's sadly doesn't feel like a fiction.
Catherine Bigelow did Detroit a couple years ago, which was a story that's 40, 50 years old, but it still seemed relevant. And I don't think that type of movie is going to be going away anytime soon. We have had a lot of movies and TV shows about Pablo Escobar, and we've got a love story involving the former drug kingpin from Fernando Leon de Aranoia, Loving Pablo, starring Javier Bardem, Penelope Cruz, and Peter Sarsgaard. A journalist falls in love with Escobar, and certainly if there's anything that is a more certain to be a happy ending, it's falling in love with the leader of the Medellin cartel. What could go wrong from there?
Bardem is just a powerhouse.
In that role, it's
does.
A good role, like, for him, but
it's not a movie that would generally interest me if it shows up on Netflix or whatever. Like, yeah, I'll watch Javier Bardem be Pablo Escobar.
Sounds like a good time. That brings us to October 12th and Bad Times at El Royale, directed by Drew Goddard, starring Chris Hemsworth, John Hamm, Dakota Johnson, Jeff Bridges, and Nick Offerman. Goddard finally follows up the awesome Cabin in the Woods with his Cabin in the Woods star Thor, with a film that looks like it should be everything Hotel Artemis wanted to be.
Goddard's done a lot of TV stuff. He's done some good stuff on TV, so it's not like he's disappeared. It looks great. It does scream Hotel Artemis to me. It just looks like this stylish, like, world-building thing. It looks like Tarantino light, kind of.
All the characters come in with a particular secret. They're all going to be kind of thrust together. Some interesting actresses and actors. I mean, Chris Hemsworth, John Hamm, Nick Offerman. Those are guys that maybe you think a bit more for their... It's weird with John Hamm, but yeah, maybe John Hamm movies you think of as more comedic. And I'm sure there'll be some of that in there. Goddard's a guy that... We talk a lot about Cabin in the Woods because it was one of the best genre satires that I've ever seen. I'm not sure that this is quite the same, but we talked last week about how maybe we should try and support original thought a little bit more in the movies, and I think this is a great example of that. If this movie does well, we get more Drew Goddard movies, and I think that'd be a good thing.
We get more Drew Goddard movies, and we get more willingness to let people do their own thing. That's what Goddard did with Cabin in the Woods, and that's what he's doing here.
We're getting another Damien Chazelle movie on the 12th, and that is First Man, starring Ryan Gosling, Claire Foy, Jason Clarke, Kyle Chandler, Pablo Schreiber, and Chris Abbott. La La Landing, as Gos and Chazelle team up for the story of the Apollo 11 mission. Yep.
I did not write that one.
I know, I did.
Full disclosure, I wrote most of this preview. I did not. I'm not taking responsibility.
Except the good parts.
For La La Landing.
It's going to basically lands on the moon. Get it? La La Land. They did a movie together.
There was a phase, I think it was late last year, where it seemed like I watched 10 movies in a row, and each of them had Pablo Schreiber or Christopher Abbott in it. One of those two was in it. Oh, these guys are both like real cool, intense actors, and I want to see more of them. And now they're in the same thing. I won't see it. I don't care. I mean, I've already seen the first movie about the moon landing when they actually landed on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Kubrick directed that one, I think.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. Although I think Buzz Aldrin will punch you in the face if he hears you say that. Also that week is Ari Sandell's Goosebumps 2, Haunted Halloween, starring Wendy McClendon Covey, Malcolm Eastman, Ken Jeong, Chris Parnell. More Goosebumps again, this time without the star of the movie, the guy that kind of made that movie what it was, or any of the other human characters, just the really creepy ones.
This is, okay, we made Goosebumps.
Cash grab sequel.
Let's turn it into a Jack Black vehicle when it doesn't need to be a Jack Black vehicle. And then, oh, he doesn't want to come back for the second one. Let's just make Goosebumps what it should have been, which is just a movie with all these creepy characters. I thought the first Goosebumps was enjoyable.
Sure.
It was fun.
This is quite a different formula.
Looks entertaining. And it's just funny because Jack Black didn't want to do this, but he's doing House on the Clock in the Walls, which looks like the same as Goosebumps.
Which is Eli Roth's Goosebumps.
Yeah,
and,
so
apparently that movie is not that great.
Like, when it comes out, well, Eli Roth is garbage, so that doesn't surprise me. When Goosebumps 2 hits VOD or whatever, I'll see it. I'm not taking the kids to see it in the theaters, but they like Slappy. They like, I'll watch some gummy bears attack people. We don't get a lot of family horror movies anymore.
We've got the House with the Clock in its walls.
Yeah.
In limited release that week is Felix Van Groningen's Beautiful Boy, starring Steve Carell, Timothy Chalamet, and Maura Tierney. A father and son deal with addiction to drugs and Steve Carell's addiction to trying to get an Oscar.
I think this will get an acting nom, but it'll be Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Like, I think he'll get nominated for this movie. It'll be 2 years in a row that he's up.
I don't think it's going to be Carell's last shot.
Oh, no.
This fall.
We'll get to that later.
He's loaded for bear. Yeah. I guess a totally different than struggling with addiction might be Ike Barinholtz's The Oath, starring John Cho, Tiffany Haddish, Billy Magnuson, Barinholtz, Nora Dunn. Maybe a little bit early for a Thanksgiving movie, but the one thing you don't want to bring up during a Thanksgiving dinner is politics, but Barinholtz does not shy away from that here.
I like this path that Barinholtz is taking, where he went from, you know, Mad TV to like goofy supporting role on Mindy Project to love interest in a movie like Sisters to like co-lead of something like Blockers, and now he's writer-director. I think this movie looks great. I think it's going to be fantastic. He's incredibly talented. And I think that's going to show in this, but my only thing is, don't watch a trailer. Don't read about this movie. Just check it out. It looks like it's bonkers. It looks like it gets crazy. Go in thinking, oh, it's a movie where a discussion about politics ruins Thanksgiving, and just go into it from there.
Leave it. We've all lived through that before.
It looks fantastic. Plus, Tiffany Haddish, her and Ike Barinholtz together, like, yeah.
With his writing, I trust him giving her good stuff to do. Trust is an interesting word, I think, when it was first announced that Danny McBride and David Gordon Green were writing a sequel to Halloween. I'm not sure how I felt. If you shouldn't watch a trailer for Ike Barinholtz's movie, I think the trailers for Halloween, which will be out October 19th, that's really kind of eased any fears that I may have, because the trailers look amazing. Gordon Green and McBride bring the franchise back to life, picking up 40 years after the original, ignoring the mostly 40 years of crap in between.
Gordon Green's career is one of those that's fascinating. He started with these really somber indie, like All the Real Girls, and he had a couple right out of film school that Danny McBride was in, just these real serious, and then McBride starts to show up and brings David Gordon Green doing these comedies like Pineapple Express, and then he did The Sitter. And so I like to see him go back and forth and do where he is in his career, and for these two guys, where they come from and what they're known for, to go to have the balls to say, hey, we want to make a new Halloween, here's our pitch, and sell it. I'm into it.
And sell it because to John Carpenter.
Yeah, because they're good at what they do. Like, mm-hmm. You can have your opinion of Danny McBride. He's not for everybody. But for what he does, he's extremely good. And David Gordon Green is, in a odd way, like incredibly underrated. Because as a director, he's one of the most versatile, competent directors working right now with a fantastic resume. It's just he's not a name that things aren't sold as like, oh, a David Gordon Green joint. When he's phenomenal.
And this will be sold as a John Carpenter joint, though he's producer and he did the score. It'll be sold as a Jamie Lee Curtis movie, which it is. I'm glad to see her back. She looks fantastic. Judy Greer, Nick Castle, maybe best known for directing The Last Starfighter, is going to put that mask on again. So as a bit of a horror dweeb, I guess.
It looks great.
Yeah.
It looks great. Like,
my biggest problem with Star Wars today is that it doesn't seem like it's being directed by people that love Star Wars, but this movie seems like it is being directed by people that care as much about Halloween as I do. That's
because
encouraging.
You have two different train of thoughts, and you have this train of thought of like, the original is so good, here's how we can update that and make it better, and then you have the train of thought of, the original is so good, here's how I would update it and make it mine, which is what we did with Rob Zombie's Halloween movies. They're not reinventing the wheel. They're updating the wheel, making it rounder.
Also, October 19th, Serenity. Before you get too excited about that, it is the Stephen Knight movie starring Matt McConaughey, Anne Hathaway, Diane Lane, Digimon Hansu, and Jason Clarke. It is not a remake of the adaptation of Firefly. Matthew McConaughey is asked by his ex-wife, Anne Hathaway, to kill her husband. And then shit goes south.
This is one of those great cast, solid director, no care. Let's throw a bunch of things that work together in a pot and just assume people will draw to it. And it just looks dull and uninteresting.
Sometimes these movies you'll want to watch for a particular performance, if for nothing else, which I think is apt for the next movie. It is Mariel Heller's Can You Ever Forgive Me? Starring Melissa McCarthy and basically just Melissa McCarthy. She's getting a lot of accolades for this movie, playing the celebrity biographer who just made stuff up, Lee Israel. From a script written by Nicole Holofcener, many people are saying positive things about Lady Gaga. It's kind of the same thing with Melissa McCarthy here, and I almost feel like people are almost more surprised that it's coming from her and not so much, oh, Lady Gaga's playing a singer and she's really good.
Well, Melissa McCarthy's always been pigeonholed into this, like, oh, she only plays the same character, which she doesn't. There are certain characteristics that are consistent amongst her stuff, but she has a lot more range than people give her credit for. This is her doing a straight drama and carrying it. Like, she's done the Bill Murray, what was that, St. Vincent?
Yes.
She was good in that. Yes. It was a dramatic role, but she didn't carry that
movie. It was Bill Murray's movie. This is hers.
This is her, and it's a fascinating story where she's a writer who's basically out of a job and just starts faking letters from famous people, and then she gets caught. It's a fascinating story. Nicole Holofcener is such a great writer. She's so good at bringing characters to life and making them relatable. This is one of those. I'm not the target audience of this movie, other than the fact that I love
Melissa McCarthy, and you'll want to see her in a different role.
But I want to see her do this. I want to see the combination of the script, the girl from Hot Rod and Popstar direct a script by one of the best screenwriters out there. I'm in for it. I don't think she'll be Oscar nom, but it'll be fun.
Had a fun writer-director with a wide release that week in David Gordon Green's Halloween. Also, Jonah Hill writing and directing mid-90s starring Sonny Sujic and Lucas Hedges. It is basically a love letter growing up in the 90s, which is going to resonate with, you know, people like me and Dave because we are of that age group.
Yeah, this is one of those where, like, I don't need to know much about it.
Nope.
I like Jonah Hill. He has, like, a dream career of mine. So I'm into it. He's put himself in a position where he can do what he wants, and this is what he wants to do, so I want to check it out.
I think there's a little bit of nostalgia at play there. And
I grew up in the 90s.
Right, like, yeah, so it's a good time to put that on screen, I suppose. The last in the limited releases for that week is Elizabeth Chokmo's What They Had, starring Hilary Swank, Michael Shannon, Robert Forster, Blythe Danner, and Tessia Farminga. What they've got in this is a super heavy family drama about Alzheimer's starring some really heavy hitters.
Yeah, Hilary Swank, where you been?
Yeah.
So she's coming back. I don't think she gets beat to death at the end, though, so no Oscar for her.
Although Michael Shannon, I don't know, dude. I don't put it past him. But those two on screen together, holy shit.
Yeah, this cast is great, but it's just one of those, it's like, if it's on one day, I'll watch it, but I can't see myself seeking out.
That wraps up October 19th. Rounding the corner of the last week in October is the 26th. And it is headlined by some real heavy hitters. And we'll start with Donovan Marsh's Hunter Killer, starring, I guess, the Hunter Killer himself, Gerard Butler, Gary Oldman, and Common, because he's got to eat. This is a Gerard Butler submarine movie.
Submarine has fallen.
Yeah.
Gerard Butler is at that phase now where Liam Neeson is, where it's like, what's that about? Oh, it's a Gerard Butler movie. Oh, okay.
Liam Neeson's got one. I don't know if it's on our list, but I think it's called like Packed Snow or some shit.
That sounds like a January release.
Yeah, me. Where he's like, he's a snowplow driver
that basically
has to do Liam Neeson stuff. And, you know, I guess Gerard Butler's like the opposite of that. Like, if he's, a Gerard Butler movie, I don't give a shit. But, like, whatever this Liam Neeson snowplow driver movie is, I'll watch it. And I don't even have to think about it. I don't know what the difference between the two movies are. But I know the Liam Neeson version of that, I want.
Well, I think watching
King Leonidas, I don't care.
I think watching Liam Neeson do that kind of stuff is more interesting than watching this big buff dude.
I guess that's true. There's a certain like tongue-in-cheek nature to what Neeson's doing. Yeah. But Gerard Butler's like, yeah!
It's like if Liam Neeson says like, hey, I'm going to kick your ass, I'll be like, okay, Grandpa,
I'd like to
see that. But if Gerard Butler says, I'm going to kick your ass, I'll be like, you will! Absolutely, yes!
Speaking of guys that if they were like, I'm going to kick your ass, you could totally see it. Nothing says I'm going to kick your ass like Mr. Bean. And if you were the person that waited 8 years after Johnny English for Johnny English to be reborn and then thought, man, I hope he strikes again soon, you are in luck. David Kerr brings Johnny English back to the screen in Johnny English Strikes Again, also starring Emma Thompson. Olga Kurylenko, God damn, I feel sorry for her. And Jake Lacy.
Rosamund Pike was in the second one. He gets good casts.
He gets Bond girls. Yeah. I don't know. Everybody's got to eat.
I didn't know this was the third Johnny English movie. I remember Johnny English.
Yes.
I forgot Johnny English Reborn existed. You're talking 2003, 2011, and now 2018. Who is the audience for these movies? And this is a November release, or what is this, October. This isn't January dumping ground. It's not prime, but it's a decent slot. Who is the market for these movies here in the United States of Russia? Who is the market for Johnny English movies?
That's the thing, because, like, I mean, I liked Mr. Bean well enough.
20 years ago?
Exactly. I don't think there are kids that know who the hell this man is, at least not in America. So, yeah, you're right. I don't know who the audience is, but maybe it's just so successful. Like, have to make them overseas, and it makes a lot of money in the United Kingdom, so they send it over here just because it's already done.
We can get three Johnny English movies, but I only get one Alan Partridge movie? That's some BS.
You hitched your trailer to the wrong Englishman. Limited release that week, the movie that I'm, of all the movies, it may be the one that I'm the most excited about. It is Luca Guadagnino's Suspiria, starring Dakota Johnson, Tilda Swinton, and dancing. Now with 65% more Suspiria. The Call Me By Your Name director, Peter Jackson's his way through a remake of Dario Argento's 1977 horror masterpiece by giving you even more masterpiece. Suspiria is 90 minutes. This one's 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get that.
I don't get it either.
I don't understand that.
Trailer looks fucking dope.
90 minutes was fine for Suspiria.
Yeah.
It didn't leave me wanting more. I was fine when it was over. That was a good movie.
Yeah.
I wish there was a sequel immediately right now, which is what 2.5 hours would feel like.
I guess. It's not like there's more source material to pull from. But, yeah, it'll be fun. I listened to Tom York's song from it. It's cool. It's no Goblin, but I'm pumped for that movie. We mentioned Liam Neeson. There's a bit of a Liam Neeson quality, I think. Maybe not actually attaching guys' nut sacks to car batteries. But Susan Sarandon finds her son kidnapped in Viper Club, directed by Miriam Kasherwitz, starring Matt Bomer and Edie Falco. Sarandon tries to get her son back, who's been taken hostage by some terrorists, with the help of journalists, not
She's
car batteries.
The government's not doing enough, so...
Too much red tape.
Yeah.
Is that John Q? Was the one about, why can't you save my son?
Save my son, yeah.
Yeah, so he took matters into his own hands. That was at a hospital. Susan Sarandon's character, I think, works at a hospital in this one. So
she's probably been to a hospital at least.
Yeah. So you see the parallels there.
She feels all parties are the same, so they're not. The government's not doing enough. And
is that the real life, Dave, or is it just fantasy?
Boo.
Boo. Yeah, all right. Dave didn't write that.
Not
November 2nd, Bryan Singer-ish brings us Bohemian Rhapsody, starring Rami Malek, Mike Myers, and Littlefinger. Malik looks to impress as Freddie Mercury in the story about Queen.
I think this is another obvious, like, oh, he's going to get a nom for this.
Yeah.
He's this fascinating, like, not your traditional leading man playing this iconic figure.
Not your traditional front man.
Who looks to do pretty decent.
Yeah.
I think the Bryan Singer-ish element to it will turn a lot of people off. So I don't think the movie will get as much as it maybe should have or would have normally.
Well, maybe if people don't know that it's directed by Bryan Singer, I don't think they're going to lead with that.
This is the one where Bryan Singer was fired midway through. And I mean, this is the movie that Sacha Baron Cohen was attached to forever and then backed out because the guys in Queen were taking too much control over what part of the story was told and it wasn't the good stuff. And then he leaves, and then Bryan Singer comes and then just doesn't show up and gets fired and replaced but still gets director credit. I think he'll get nominated for Best Actor.
Ron Howard showed up and finished it. Tyler Perry gets director's credit, and usually when he does, you know all about it because it's Tyler Perry's something or other. Not this time. He directs Nobody's Fool, starring Tiffany Haddish, Tika Sumpner, Amari Hardwick, and Whoopi Goldberg. Tiffany Haddish gets out of jail, instantly has doubts about her sister's new man. She's one of those ones that I think, I'm not saying that people don't watch Melissa McCarthy movies now, but she was such a force in nature when she showed up in Bridesmaids. People were like, shit, I'm going to watch everything this woman does. I think Tiffany Haddish is there. It's the same thing with Melissa McCarthy. It was one movie, and then everybody's like, I'm
Girls
on board.
Trip, yeah. And then from Girls Trip, I mean, Melissa McCarthy's similar. Kevin Hart is similar. There's the stand-up that has a really good supporting role, and then all of a sudden they're in every movie ever. And Tiffany Haddish, this is at least her second movie of the fall that we're talking about.
Yeah.
She's great. Tyler Perry steps aside, and it doesn't feel like a Tyler Perry movie.
Hot take. Tiffany Haddish, bigger name than Tyler Perry.
I think
right now.
At this moment in time. Yes. At this moment in time, more people would come see Tiffany Haddish than a Tyler Perry movie.
And I think that's why
it's not exactly Tyler
Perry's blah, 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 and stepping all over her.
That's what I mean. He's stepping out of the side and letting Tiffany Haddish do it. And Tyler Perry knows his audience. He makes movies appease that audience. That audience is very drawn to Tiffany Haddish. So
a lot of people are.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's a good combination because, you know, you can give Tyler Perry all this crap. And, yeah, the Madea, whatever. That's not for us. Mm-hmm. So, like, I'll never trash talk him as a director just because I'm not his target demo. He's making movies that aren't for me that I haven't watched. But clearly he has a formula and he knows what he's doing. He hasn't had the success lately. But, I mean, the dude blew up. He has, like, a dozen TV shows. He knows what he's doing.
This one will do well.
It'll do very well.
Because
I think it'll be one of those sneaky hits where there's a lot of money to be made.
The Madea thing may have run its course in just the volume of them. But he can direct a comedy. She can star in a comedy. So
and I feel like
work.
What his problem was, not problem, but I feel like there was no in-between where you have the Madea that's just this wacky, goofy comedy. And then the stuff like the Idris Elba with kids movie, that's like there were these really wacky comedies or these just really heavy dramas. There was no middle ground. And I feel like this is the closest to a middle ground, like mainstream that he's been. Maybe the Janet Jackson one, but I feel like this is more like marketed for not just the Tyler Perry crowd, but this is a mainstream. Because then Tiffany Haddish has that Kevin Hart movie coming up too. Like, she's blowing up. She's not going anywhere.
Yeah, for sure. She's mainstream, so I think this will bring people into that. Two directors for Nutcracker and The Four Realms. Those directors are Lassie Hallström and Joe Johnston, starring Keira Knightley, Mackenzie Foy, Morgan Freeman, and Helen Mirren. Fantastical journey through the land of gingerbread men and mouse armies.
This is one of those that feels like it would have come out a few years ago when we had Jack the Giant Slayer, Mirror Mirror.
Retellings
that were fantastical fantasy epics that took you into this completely different world. So it's a few years behind that, but it's only a year or so after Beauty and the Beast, which was years behind that and made a ton of money. A
couple months behind Wrinkle in Time, which was not a fantastical telling of a different story, but it was based on source material that people seem to have liked, and it didn't do as well.
And you know what? This looks kind of awesome. The trailer, I didn't know it was Nutcracker at first. It looks like this fantastic. It looks like what they wanted Narnia to be.
Truthfully, I mean, this is certainly the right time of the year for that. I mean, the Nutcracker is kind of a Christmas tradition. You know, if you're tired of seeing the ballet, which I certainly am, where we talked about with Halloween, you're just resharpening the wheel. This is that other strategy of taking and making it your version of. And to be honest, we've had enough versions of the regular Nutcracker. It might be time for something different. In limited release that week is Joel Edgerton's Boy Erased, starring Lucas Hedges, Nicole Kidman, Edgerton, and another jacked Australian Muscle Crow. The son of a preacher gets sent to conversion therapy after being outed.
This is one of those where it'll be hard to watch. Edgerton's...
It'll be hard to watch because it'll be difficult to find.
Yeah, but Edgerton's one of those that I'll watch it. The Gift was this phenomenal little movie that could. It was great, and he showed that he's a fantastic director. His brother's a great director. I'll see it. It's going to be powerful. Nicole Kidman is going to have a hell of a year that we'll get to later. This cast is great. I really like him. It's tough source material. It's also the second or third conversion therapy movie we're getting this year. You had the Chloe Grace Moretz one earlier. So it's another one that, sadly, it's relevant. But
I like Lucas Hedges.
He's in everything.
Yeah, he
fall.
Shows up in a lot of things. He's in Manchester by the Sea, Lady Bird, Three Billboards.
Just his name. This is the second or third time his name's come up.
He was in
mid-90s.
Speaking of retelling the same story, Yarrow Chaney and Scott Mosier retell the story of The Grinch on November the 9th. Starring The Grinch, Benedict Cumberbatch, as well as Rashida Jones, Angela Lansbury, Kenan Thompson, Pharrell, Ariel Winter. That pesky Grinch still insists on ruining Christmas. In case you've managed to miss these goings-on since the Dr. Seuss story in 1957, hey, just wait a couple of years and one will come back around for you.
Milk it, I guess. Like, all right. I like Benedict Cumberbatch,
yeah.
But
Speaking of holiday traditions, how about The Grinch?
Yeah, I don't need this.
I got the Jim Carrey one. Like, I think I'm good on Grinch stuff.
I got the original. I was fine with that.
That too, yeah, I suppose. Not exactly original is Fede Alvarez's The Girl in the Spider's Web, based off the novel that Stieg Larsson didn't write. He died of a heart attack, I think, in 2004. This book came out a couple years later, written by David Lagercrantz. The Girl in the Spider's Web, this time played by Claire Foy. Sevier Gunnarsson, Lakeith Stanfield, and Stephen Merchant round out the cast. This time, interestingly enough, it is not a remake of a Scandinavian film.
Made.
Right, yeah. The English version is going to come out first. I like Alvarez, Evil Dead,
love Alvarez. Claire Foy is doing really good stuff right now. Like, honestly, once Fede Alvarez was picked, it's like, oh, Jane Levy is going to be Liz Beth Salander.
Certainly,
which
yeah.
I would have loved.
Yes.
Claire Foy, I think, is going to be great. They didn't go for a big name for Michael Bloomquist.
Daniel Craig was unavailable.
Yeah. You know what? Hot take here. This should have been what the Fincher approach was, because you're coming off of those. Noomi Rapace was perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm never one that's like, oh, Jack Nicholson was such a good Joker, like he shouldn't be played again. Or he's like,
yeah.
But it was only a couple of years later. So Noomi Rapace was great. Those movies were flawless. Those movies were so good. So to come over and just try to duplicate it.
Yeah,
the audience that wanted it had it already.
They could have made this movie with that cast.
Yes, it's
because there was nothing wrong.
Yeah,
with
Rooney was great.
Yeah, James
Daniel
Bond
Craig
was good.
Yeah. But it's like Let Me In. You know, they're just the people that wanted that movie had it already.
Yes.
So yes, it was a great remake. The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It was a fine movie. But who's the audience for? It's not really a mainstream type thing.
I guess
thing.
It's, the people that were just too stubborn to read subtitles.
And,
but it's based off a fucking book.
Yeah.
You gotta read that.
Yeah. So, like, I feel like if this would have been the original approach, and with saying that, I am more interested in this than I was the Fincher one.
Because we don't read books.
I've read them.
So
I read the original three.
Me
I haven't
too.
Read the ones post.
Yeah, I don't. It's post Larsson. I don't know what happens here, and I don't have another movie
I
have to
watch
to
characters.
Find out.
I love Lizbeth Salander and Michael Bloomquist.
A lot of characters, a lot of actors, at least, to love in Julius Avery's Overlord. Wyatt Russell, I love. I like seeing him in things. John Magaro, Bokeem Woodbine, and Ian Caradasector. A bonkers World War II horror movie that's being tightly held under wraps. It was originally maybe the fourth Cloverfield movie.
J.J. Abrams
produced, thought better of it.
Yeah. Bad Robot production. Yeah. It's marketed as like, oh, these two dudes are trying, they're stuck on the cross enemy lines on D-Day. But then you watch the trailer, and there's a lot more going on than that. It looks
Nazis
bonkers.
Been doing some shit.
It looks amazing. Probably one of those that don't look into it. Just see it. If you want like a good World War II, probably
horror
movie that just looks bonkers, go for it.
Yeah, it's a movie version of Castle Wolfenstein. You'll dig it. It's fine.
It's a better version of Dead Snow.
Yeah, or that Iron...
Or Dead Snow 2. Or Iron Sky.
Iron Sky, yeah. The one where the Nazis had a base on the moon. Though I did like that. It was fantastic. November 16th, we go back to the Wizarding World with David Yates' Fantastic Beasts, The Crimes of Griswold. Starring Eddie Redmayne, Catherine Waterston, Fogler, Ezra Miller, Jude Law, Johnny Depp, Zoe Kravitz. Newt Scamander is back, this time joined by a young double dork and a woman beater.
Yeah.
Amongst others.
I.
You like the Harry Potter movies, though, right?
I do, but this is...
It seems like the Fantastic Beasts movies, people tend to ignore them.
I like
Harry Potter fans tend to ignore it.
The thing is, I like that they're written by J.K. Rowling. She's not writing the books. She's just writing the scripts. That's great. I have an issue with Johnny Depp being in this movie because I feel like he would have been easily enough to recast. And I love J.K. Rowling, but her defense of him has made me question that. Maybe it's me being like, oh, I'm a social justice warrior. But I don't like women getting beat up and no consequences being paid. Like, that's my biggest thing. So... it's hard for me to be excited about this movie because Dan Fogler's in it and because Johnny Depp beat the shit out of Amber Heard and has paid zero consequences. And I've lost respect for J.K. Rowling for defending that. So he'd be easy enough to replace. Johnny Depp, at this point in his career, is replaceable.
It's difficult to replace him out of the Pirates franchise. You know what I mean? That is a Johnny Depp vehicle. I would not say that Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them was a Johnny Depp vehicle. I don't think most people knew Johnny Depp was in that movie until the very end, right? So I think that could easily have been solved. But nonetheless, you know, that movie will make money. I
don't know who sees them, but it'll make money.
Not kids see them.
I love the Harry Potter. I love the Harry Potter books and movies. I didn't see it. I still haven't seen it.
Really?
Yeah.
That was the first Harry Potter movie I ever watched.
Yeah. I mean, I guess if you started...
And Harry Potter wasn't even in it.
It's like starting with episode 1. That's the first...
Chronologically, yeah. There you go. It makes sense.
So you're not going to watch the Harry Potters until the last Beast movie.
Yeah, and then I'll just sit down and watch them all at once and spin off TV shows. Also out November 16th is Sean Anders' Instant Family, starring Mark Wahlberg, Rose Byrne, Octavia Spencer. Wahlberg and Rose Byrne's life changes after adopting 3 kids.
I like Rose Byrne in comedies. Marky Mark is surprisingly good in comedy. But I think this is more like one of those drama comedies.
Dramedies?
Yeah.
Steve McQueen doesn't scream dramedy to me. He does scream fantastic director, and he's back with Widows, starring Viola Davis, Michelle Rodriguez, Elizabeth Debicki, Liam Neeson, and John Bernthal. 4 ladies left with debt from their dead criminal husbands work together to move forward with their lives with a screenplay from Gillian Flynn of Gone Girl, Sharp Objects fame.
Steve McQueen, we haven't seen him in a while, which is a shame.
I don't know if it's his direct follow-up to 12 Years a Slave.
I think it is. I don't remember anything since 12. I mean, if only there was a way to look. But this cast, Viola Davis is top-notch in everything she's in. I want Elizabeth Debicki in more stuff because I think she's fascinating. And then John Bernthal is one of my favorite actors right now, just the intensity he brings. Gillian Flynn, robbed of an Oscar nom for her Gone Girl script, which is a shame. So, I mean, this movie has a lot going for it. And Viola Davis, nomination, I think. She's one of those almost that if she does something of this ilk, she's getting nominated.
That'll bring us to November 21st, where we get Stephen Caple Jr. That's hard to say. Creed is, I think it's synonymous with Michael B. Jordan. It's synonymous with Sylvester Stallone. It's also just as synonymous with Ryan Coogler. So it's weird that he's not involved. The stars of the movie return, as does Ivan Drago, Dolph Lundgren. We have also got Wood Harris in there. As Creed faces off against the son of the man who killed his father, sins of the father and whatnot. Part of me thinks it's kind of lazy to do the Ivan Drago thing, but I don't know how you... Drago killing Apollo Creed. I don't know how you just gloss over that. You're going to make 2 Creed movies?
I mean, it's lazy in a way. No Coogler back is a disappointment.
Yeah.
But the first one was so good. And Michael B. Jordan is such a damn movie star. I'm in. I'm disappointed Coogler's not back, but you still have Michael B. Jordan. You still have Tessa Thompson, who was amazing in that.
And hopefully that's Sylvester Stallone, too. That's Academy Award nominated.
Nominee, yeah.
Yeah,
Sylvester Stallone. And I think it will be. And he didn't write this one, which is weird. Won't take much for me to get excited. I don't expect it to be as good as Creed.
Sure.
But
tempered expectations, but I think good nonetheless. From a name synonymous with boxing to another, Ali. It's Mahershala Ali and Viggo Mortensen in Peter Farrelly's Green Book. Vigo goes from bouncer to driver for Ollie's classical pianist through the American South in the 1960s. And boy, weren't those people just super welcoming to African Americans that play classical music.
Yeah, and that's why he could just have a normal driver and didn't have to get Viggo goddamn Mortensen to drive him. And from Peter Farrelly, which is interesting, he's been trying to do some other stuff other than the Farrelly Brothers stuff, so I like seeing that transition, but and Ali's coming off the Oscar. And
yeah, Moonlight, I don't want to say it's in his wheelhouse because the man's a fantastic actor, but yeah, I think that this will be a good movie as well. A great movie, maybe even, from John C. Reilly and Sarah Silverman and basically all the Disney princesses, is Ralph Breaks the Internet, directed by Phil Johnson and Rich Moore. Ralph and Vanellope go from arcade to the internet, where he wrecks stuff along the way, because that is what Wreck-It Ralph does. I am kind of jazzed about they broke down and got the actresses that played the princesses
Marina's
to reprise
in there,
their roles.
Moana's in there.
Yeah.
Like, I like
and it's
that.
Not just the new ones. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, they went back. They got Ariel.
Kristen
like,
Bell's on there. Like, it'll be fun. It'll be enjoyable. I'm not amped enough to go see it in theaters, probably, but I'll enjoy it when it comes out.
I'll see it in theaters. I mean, I guess pretty busy that week. I'll see Creed. Maybe stick around for Ralph Breaks the Internet, and who knows, leave just in time to miss Otto Brathurst's Robin Hood, starring Taron Egerton, Ben Mendelsohn, who plays a bad guy in fucking everything.
There's a Netflix movie, I think it just went up today. It's just a normal Ben Mendelsohn movie. He's not this evil.
I don't buy it.
He's just a dude that left his wife, quit his job, going through like a Ben Mendelsohn life crisis. It's fascinating.
Beat up an old lady?
Not yet. Not that, I mean, I didn't finish it.
Well, it's coming.
Is it?
Yeah.
Did you watch it?
No.
Oh.
I'm just saying.
I love Ben Mendelsohn. He's the perfect villain, but it's
yes, he is. Playing the villain opposite Taron Egerton, also Jamie Dornan and Jamie Foxx. A little bit like that Guy Ritchie King Arthur retelling that people weren't exactly clamoring for, but this time we get a Robin Hood stylized action movie.
Written by the same dude that wrote that King Arthur movie. Yeah. It looks like, and this is a shame. I love Taron Egerton.
I do too.
I think Taron Egerton is a leading man. I think he should be leading more movies. I think he's fantastic. I don't think people care about Robin Hood anymore. I like the idea of Jamie Foxx is, what is that, Friar Tuck. I like the ideas of this movie. I like anytime you put Ben Mendelsohn in a villain, especially one as iconic as like Sheriff of Nottingham. But it just
this is a dumb action movie.
Yeah.
Written
which
all
it
over
doesn't
it.
Need to be, yeah.
I mean, I watch it on HBO one of these days.
I guarantee his British accent will stay more consistent than Costner's did.
Oh, I would think so. Yeah. Costner's was gone by the second act. Hey-o!
Oh, boo.
Jennifer Lopez stars in Peter Siegel's second act, where Lopez takes her street smarts from the block to Madison Avenue as she reinvents herself. Jennifer Lopez, back starring in movies.
That looks like a Jennifer Lopez movie.
Speaking of, hey, Hillary Swank, where did you go? The same place Jennifer Lopez went, apparently. To Alex Rodriguez's house. November 30th in limited release is John McPhail's Anna and the Apocalypse, starring Ella Hunt, Sarah Swire, and Ben Wiggins. Just your typical Christmas zombie musical that I feel like we've heard about for the last 9 months.
It's been coming out for as long as the Alpha poster was hanging up in my local movie theater. Like, I've heard about this movie for years.
Yeah, I feel like it's one of those things that the closer we get to it, I'm just like, oh, fuck, that's right,
convinced,
that movie.
Yeah. What was the one that I thought was Crocodile Dundee, where it was...
That it was the Kyrie movie, yeah.
Yeah, where it's like, this can't be real, like... This is one of those, like, you've been jerking me around for this long, right? Like, it's not, we're going to get to November 30th, and it gets pushed back another 6 months.
I don't know what it is. Like, I hate musicals with a passion, but I do like to watch horror musicals. Repo, Stage Fright. I'm interested in seeing this. And Sarah likes musicals, so let's watch a musical. Speaking of great directors, this fall is kind of stuffed with them. Maybe guys we haven't seen for a while. Here comes Barry Jenkins with If Beale Street Could Talk, starring Kiki Layne, Stephen James, Regina King, and Coleman Domingo. Pregnant lady races against the clock to prove her fiancé's innocence.
It'll be good.
Yes.
Barry Jenkins proved with Moonlight. Like, the dude's a great filmmaker. This I think story is a little bit more in my wheelhouse. Like I think I'm interested in it. Like, I think it'll be good.
Yeah, this one I don't think is going to be quite the Oscar darling that Moonlight is, although that is really not saying much. You know what I mean? Not every movie is going to win Best Picture, but I still think it'll be a really good movie from him.
Not every movie is going to La La Land a Best Picture win.
Yeah, you see, it was so good. You got to steal it. That'll bring us down the home stretch into December. December 7th starts off with The Silence, directed by John R. Leonetti, starring Kiernan Shipka, The Tooch, Miranda Otto, and John Corbett. Stop me if you've heard this one before, maybe even this year. The story of a family trying to survive in a world taken over by creatures who hunt only with their hearing. And in case you get them confused, this isn't the one that was directed by Jim from The Office and already has a sequel.
This is one of those where, like, I feel for the filmmakers and the people involved in this.
Yes.
This is the same movie as A Quiet Place, but in no way do I believe they ripped off A Quiet Place. Like, I just feel like this idea resonated and came out of different people around the same time in the same in the timeline. That's how it worked.
Can we agree it probably shouldn't be in the same year?
I can agree with that.
That would be better for this movie.
I think to give it some distance.
Yeah.
Even January release. I mean, Quiet Place was, what, March?
I think it was like February, March. It was early in the year.
But I mean, even just dropping it in that time frame, like, give it a year at least.
Would help. Because I feel like I just watched. And you know what?
But I mean.
This is the thing about A Quiet Place. It made a ton of money. Super successful. But I was at the local video store. Sarah still hasn't seen it because I went to see it without her. And it was my free rental. And the girl behind the counter was like, oh, I've heard this is good. And I was like, well, you work in a movie store. Maybe you ought to have seen it. But now that, like, A Quiet Place is on DVD, if you missed it in the theater and you're thinking, I want to see a movie about monsters that can't see, well, I could get in the car and go down and see The Silence, or I could fucking rent A Quiet Place.
Kiernan Shipka, I think, is going to be a star. She's got the Sabrina thing coming out on Netflix.
Which looks dope.
Yeah, it looks awesome. So I feel like maybe you're capitalizing on that. She needed a couple years after Mad Men to kind of blossom into leading lady, but she's
there. Oh, my God,
there.
She was great at the end of that show.
Yeah.
Holy smokes. Limited release that week, Ben is Back, directed by Peter Hedges, starring Julia Roberts. Here's that man again, Lucas Hedges, Courtney B. Vance, and Catherine Newton. Jay Robbs tries to keep her family from falling apart after the unexpected return of her son. Weird that a Julia Roberts movie is in limited release, is it not?
Not anymore, not at this point. A Secret in Their Eyes wasn't a wide release, and that had Chewie, her, and Kidman.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
She's got a show coming to, what, Amazon? Like, she's not Julia Roberts that we remember.
Mm. And finally, David Robert Mitchell's Under the Silver Lake, starring Spider-Man and a guy that was in a Spider-Man movie, Andrew Garfield and Topher Grace, Riley Keough and Jimmy Simpson, a bunch of people that I enjoy, maybe not so much Dave.
I like everybody
except Andrew Garfield.
Which, jury's still out.
Andrew Garfield, maybe not this year. You know,
if a movie's going to do it, it would be this.
Yeah.
This was supposed to come out in the summer.
He's going to make the McAvoy turn.
We talked about it this summer during our summer preview. We had an It Follows episode planned for the week this came out, and it got bumped because I don't remember what we ended up doing in its place, but it got bumped 6 months. So this looks great. It looks kind of like Brick, which I hated, but so I don't know why I'm excited for it, but it looks like a trippy Brick.
Yeah, Inherent Vice maybe is a trippy Brick. It's a noir, but a drug-filled, comedy-infused noir. This one, I don't know how much comedy is necessarily going to be in it, but it is the story of...
I love Topher, and I love Riley Keough, though.
Yeah, they're great. I like Jimmy Simpson. Every time he shows up, I'm excited to see him.
Topher was in this random movie that showed up on Netflix a couple weeks ago, and at one point he takes his shirt off.
He's jacked.
He's jacked. Like, he's still skinny and small, but, like, he's cut. I won't say jacked. Like, he's not, like, Ethan Embry jacked, who's surprisingly jacked. But, like, he's cut. Topher Grace is way more cut than you would expect. Like,
There's some definition to him.
If you picture Topher Grace shirtless,
I'm doing it
right
now.
And then just take a marker and just draw lines where there should be lines on a man, that's what he looks like.
Apply the proper shading.
Yeah. He's cut. I like Topher.
What movie is that?
Some movie on Netflix. I don't know.
That'll be easy to find. I'll just Google Topher Grace shirtless and see how far
I tried. I tried to tweet it, and I couldn't find it. Because there was an Ethan Embry movie where he took his shirt off and he's jacked. So I had to search Ethan Embry shirtless, and I found it, and I tweeted it.
But you found the right picture of him shirtless.
Yeah, I couldn't find him with Topher. I'm bad at movie titles. On Netflix, I just hit buttons. Like, it's like, oh, Topher Grace.
Beep, boop, boop, Topher Grace button.
People will be like, what's the name? What's this movie? I don't know. There was a picture attached. I hit the button.
Speaking of Spider-Man, we have a Spider-Man movie on December 14th. It is packed with Spider-Men, but Andrew Garfield's not one of them. Directed by Bob Prichetti, Peter Ramsey, and Rodney Rothman, it is Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, starring Shameik Moore, Nicolas Cage, Haley Steinfeld, Jake Johnson, Liev Schreiber, Lily Tomlin, Mahershala Ali, John Mulaney. So many Spider-Mans.
You got Miles Morales.
Yep.
Jake Johnson's Peter Parker. Haley Steinfeld's Spider-Gwen.
The Spider-Noir, that's Nick Cage.
Lily Tomlin is Aunt May. Liev Schreiber's the Kingpin, which will be cool. John Mulaney, Spider-Ham. The animation looks fantastic. I'm worried that they're doing too much. I was excited, like, oh, hell, we're getting a Miles Morales Spider-Man movie. I'm excited for that. And then it turns out, like, kinda. You're getting a lot of Spider-Man movies.
Yeah, he's one of them. We are getting a Mortal Engines movie. That young adult series that I have not read because I don't read and I'm not a young adult. But if you want a franchise, hey, you could do worse than getting Hugo Weaving. He's also got Robert Sheeran, Stephen Lang, and Hera Hilmar. Two-star in Christian Rivers' adaptation of the young adult book. A bit like Snowpiercer, but with more city eating.
Produced by Peter Jackson. It's this world-building, fantastical, dystopian thing where trains eat cities, I think.
Somebody's eating a city.
You watch the trailer, it's like, oh, that movie's going to lose a ton of money.
Is Hugo Weaving the voice of the train?
I hope.
Yeah, me too. And finally, December 19th, there's really only one thing that anybody's going to worry about, and that's Rob Marshall's Mary Poppins Returns, starring Emily Blunt, Lin-Manuel Miranda, Colin Firth, Meryl Streep, Emily Mortimer, Ben Whishaw, and Dick Van Dyke, because he's still around. Emily Blunt isn't throwing away her shot to bring the iconic character back to the screen, picking up decades after the original.
Just like Halloween.
And ignoring the Mary Poppins movie, where she was possessed by an ancient druid curse, just like the Halloween movie.
Yep. Emily Blunt, I think, is going to do fine in this. Lin-Manuel Miranda's in it. It's just she's watching the kids of the kids that she watched before. People are like, why are you making... It's a series of books, you dumbass. Like, it's just another book adapted. Mary Poppins was a book series.
From what I gather, not that I read books, but I do enjoy the people that are drawing the line in the sand for this one. Why are you remaking Mary Poppins? Really?
Tell Mary Poppins forever. When they cast Val Kilmer.
Oh, God. When her maid outfit has nipples in it.
I'd be into that.
December 21st, Robert Rodriguez brings Alita Battle Angel to the screen, starring Lana Condor, Jennifer Connelly, Isa Gonzalez, Michelle Rodriguez, Christoph Waltz, Ed Skrein, Casper Van Dien, my dude, and Mahershala Ali, because he's fucking in everything. Whether it looks like
he's
it's going to be
a busy fall.
He certainly does. The animanga comes to the big screen with big eyes, written by James Cameron. I'm not going to lie. When I first saw the trailer for this, I said, I don't know what the fuck's going on, but it looks awesome. I'm in.
They shrunk her eyes since the first trailer.
Oh, now I'm out.
The first trailer, her eyes are way too big.
I'm done. I like big eyes.
If you want to get a feel for Lana Condor,
I cannot lie.
Watch To All the Boys I Loved Before on Netflix, where she is delightful, along with Noah Centineo, who's the new Mark Ruffalo. He's
or
also in Sierra Burgess,
that shit, the Apocalypse X-Men movie. She was in that too.
Was she?
She's Jubilee.
Yeah.
Yep.
Eh.
She's in stuff.
Delightful in that movie though. Netflix is the rom-com heaven.
Now, if you didn't get enough of fighting robots, you've got Travis Knight's Bumblebee, starring Haley Steinfeld, Angela Bassett, Justin Theroux, and the champ, John Cena. The Transformers franchise gets a little less Michael Bay, goes smaller, and back to the 80s in an Iron Giant type turn for the franchise.
I'm going
to
say something way out of character here. I am amped for this Transformers movie.
Because it doesn't have anything with Michael Bay.
I think it
Michael
looks
Bay.
Great. I love her. I love she's phenomenal. I like John Cena a lot. Like, I like watching him grow into this movie star. It looks really good. It looks like the Iron Giant with Transformers. It's set in the 80s. It looks really, really good. I will probably be disappointed, but it looks like a small scale, like heartfelt Girl Meets Robot movie.
I might see this, which is more than I have said for any Transformers movie.
I saw the first Transformers. I haven't seen any since.
Exactly.
I will see this one.
Will you see James Wan's Aquaman, starring Aquaman? Amber Heard, Nicole Kidman, Patrick Wilson, Dolph Lundgren, and some fish. Amber Heard is not playing Aquaman. I realize I should have paused more there. Khal Drogo is playing Aquaman. Superhero movie where the main character can talk to fish, but a scary version. Because it's James Wan.
I like the idea of James Wan doing this big epic superhero movie, but Aquaman is...
But I'm burned out on DC movies.
I don't care about Aquaman. I don't like Momoa really anymore. It looks ridiculous. I feel like a lot of people that did the animation on like the poster and the scene in the aquarium have never seen fish or been to an aquarium. So I fear that a lot of it's just going to look silly. It just looks silly.
I mean, talking fish look different than regular fish. So in fairness to those people, Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly back together. It is not a Step Brothers sequel that we're all clamoring for. It is another Sherlock Holmes movie, this time written by Ethan Coen. It's Holmes and Watson, also starring Ralph Fiennes.
It's Moriarty.
Yeah. I got super sick a couple months ago, and I ended up watching that. The second Sherlock Holmes movie with Robert Downey Jr.
Game
and Jude Law.
Yeah.
Yeah. That had Moriarty in it, too. I like those movies for what they are.
They're fine for what they are.
Yeah. Yeah. This, I mean, I like the Coens. I'm a shill. I'll probably watch this on HBO, too.
I don't have any interest in this.
Sometimes next year.
Yeah. I'll skip it.
I do like me a good Robert Zemeckis movie around the holidays. I feel like that's...
Real human movie.
Yeah, real human movie starring Steve Carell, Isa Gonzalez, Diane Kruger, Leslie Mann, and Gwendolyn Christie. Welcome to Marwyn. Steve Carell builds tiny men and cities to help recover from a brutal attack and continue that hunt for an Oscar.
I think he'll get the nom for this one. I don't know if it's still on Netflix. There's a documentary called Marwyn All. I believe that was the name of it, which is what this is based off of. Fascinating. Dude just builds these small little, amazing looking replicas of wars and stuff. And that's what
like
this...
Like dioramas?
Yeah. It's a fascinating documentary, and this is just Robert Zemeckis directing Steve Carell in that. I think this is a Steve Carell Oscar nom movie. I think he'll get it for this. It'll be a Robert Zemeckis movie with an Oscar-worthy leading performance. That's what it'll be.
I feel like we may get an Oscar nom for our next movie coming out on December 26th. Big year for a couple people. Mr. Rogers got himself a documentary and we're working on the feature with big year for Ruth Bader Ginsburg, too. And Mimi Leader brings us Felicity Jones as RBG in On the Basis of Sex. She stars with Armie Hammer, Kathy Bates, and Justin Theroux. The story of Ruth Bader Ginsburg and how she managed to become a Supreme Court justice despite having absolutely no sexual assault accusations against her that we know of.
This is your Oscar winner for
best actress. Female. Yeah.
And I think Mimi Leder gets that Oscar she deserved for Deep Impact. She'll get the nom for it.
Make a Deep Impact with this one.
I don't know that she'll win, but I believe there will be two of your best actress nominees coming out this week.
Well, the only
and
other
possibly.
Movie.
Two directors. Best directors.
The only other movie that we've got to talk about is Karen Kusama's Destroyer, starring Nicole Kidman, Toby Kebbell, Tatiana Maslany, Sebastian Stan, Scoot McNairy, and Toby Huss. Kidman rekindles relationships made while undercover years ago in order to make peace with demons that wrecked her past. You may recognize Kusama's name from our invitation episode where we drooled all over her. This is her feature follow-up to that. She did a segment in that XX movie, and she's done some other TV stuff, I think, since then. But, yeah, this is her feature follow-up.
And it sounds amazing. Nicole Kidman's almost unrecognizable. The story sounds awesome. That supporting cast, Toby Kebbell, Tatiana Maslany, who I love, obviously, Sebastian Stan, Scoot, Toby Huss. I'm hoping Kusama gets the love she deserves as a director, and I feel like this will be Nicole Kidman. We'll get one of those, like, hey, remember Nicole Kidman? Type Oscar noms. Busy fall for her, too, actually. Like, her name's been come up a couple times.
There's a few.
She's Aquaman as well, isn't she? She's not Aquaman.
No.
She's in Aquaman, though. And then another one. She's in a couple. There's a Dick Cheney movie by Adam McKay with Christian Bale, that'll get something, but it doesn't have a name yet, and whether it even makes release, well, we don't know.
Dick?
Probably.
Oh, I don't know. I'm just saying, I think that's been done.
That'll be like The Big Short. The Big Short kind of just got thrown in there and then got nominated for a bunch of stuff. I feel like that'll do the same, but I don't think it's got a hard release date, so we left it off. I mean, it's not like it used to be where there's those heavy hitters, like, you know what the Best Picture noms are going to be. Like
some of them you can kind of see coming, yeah. But certainly I think A Star Is Born, we're going to hear, despite the fact that it comes out in October, which is typically a little bit early for a movie like that, or a movie that we expect to be so well
received. It comes
out
early enough, though, that you can re-release it, yeah, in December.
And certainly they will. That's a movie I think we'll be hearing a lot more about. Do you think Melissa McCarthy is going to get a nom, just because I think that they would want
cool.
to do that.
I want to.
And I think she'll deserve it, too. I mean, it's not like they're going to throw her a bone.
I think it's Felicity Jones.
Yeah, at this point, I would say it's probably her or Lady Gaga. I could see them going Lady Gaga, just not to...
I mean, it's the first December in 3 years without a Star Wars.
Because we already got it in May,
yeah,
which didn't work out so well, so hopefully they'll...
I mean, we get one next year, and then after that, who knows?
Yeah, who knows? My ass. Most of the stuff that I'm kind of excited for is the horror stuff. I mean, it's Halloween, it's Suspiria.
This is a good October. Yeah. Usually you have like one teeny Scream horror movie. Mm-hmm. This is a legit October for
like
horror
a Lights
movies.
Out or Don't Breathe, something like that ends up being really cool. But yeah, these ones are, I mean, Halloween, Michael Myers is right there on the same pantheon as Freddy and Jason. So to have one of those come out in October, I think is great.
It doesn't feel like the Friday remake or the Nightmare on Elm Street remake. It feels like a legit Halloween movie that's made for people that grew up loving that movie and not trying to make it for young teens.
Right, exactly. Make a PG-13 version so you can get in after you go to the Haunted Hayride or what have you. We are going to talk a bit more about Halloween and Suspiria as we roll into October. We're going to do a list episode and a movie episode every week. We're going to run down our five favorite horror movies from every year that the podcast has been out, and we're also going to hit one horror movie. I know we've got a Halloween. I know we're going to do Suspiria. What are the other two we're doing?
Goosebumps and It.
Oh, right. Because obviously there's another Goosebumps movie, and It, they're working on the sequel.
It was so good last year, and I don't feel like I feel like we both saw it kind of late.
Yeah.
So we didn't talk about it as much as we probably wanted to.
So that's October. I was excited to do the horror list. I mean, we always like talking about horror movies, and some of these, I'm sure, we will have missed and not had a good opportunity to put them on.
And plus, this year is such a good year for horror. I mean, so far this year, we've had A Quiet Place, we've had Hereditary, mm-hmm. There's been really good horror movies already, and we have more on deck.
Horizon, yeah.
So that's why I kind of wanted to go back, and we're going to do 2012, 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17, just because we watch a lot of horror movies, and they may not get mentioned.
Not always in the year in which they come out.
Yeah, so it'll be cool to just kind of go back and talk about specific horror movies from those years.
So come back next week where we start our month of Halloween. But until then,
keep it up.